It's 10 minutes past 12 o'clock, New Sound Radio 92 FM par. Main hoon Tariq aapke saath, wishing you a very good afternoon. Absolutely fantastic outside. Look at the sun shining and the blue sky all the way across. 20 degrees is the top temperature today. I think at the moment it must be about 15, 16. Slowly creeping up. Welcome to the Community Hour and Shahid from Blossom.
You.
We say good afternoon to you. How are you doing?
I'm fine. So, salam to everyone. Hello, sat sri akal, namaste to everyone who's listening on this glorious day. Yes, you're right. I mean, if it gets to 20, that's probably too hot for me.
It will be. No, yesterday was perfect because it's around about 18, 19 degrees. I think it was like manageable, and you know, you didn't feel too bad. So today warmer. But it's going to stay like this. But then British weather, you know what it's like. It can change any minute. Anything can happen in the next half hour.
Yes, we know. And the British weather is like lots of other things that happen in Britain.
Yeah.
It's really, really great to be back, Tariq. Thank you so much for inviting us back. And, you know, I'm looking forward to this particular session. I think we're going to have some interesting discussion, but also have some fun.
Yeah, no, definitely. That's what it's all about. You know, getting the information across to the public, to the listeners, and especially to the needy who need a company and information in it to get them through the day. Radio has been important, always will be important. It's like a second communication factor next to the mobile phone, as you say. Now the mobile phone, you can listen on there, you can listen on your TV, you can listen on your radio. A lot of people don't have radios anymore. They chuck them out. A lot of people say that mobile is our radio, mobile is our communicator, you know, their little walkie-talkie for communicating to the rest of the world.
No, you're absolutely right. But then, at the same time, I've seen lots of people who go to their local charity shop, still looking at the DAB radios, all the old radios.
Old ones,
so you find a bush radio with the one that you put the battery at the back, and then hopefully last for a period of time. the one I mean, the one you spent half your wages just making sure that the battery worked. But yeah, they're back. Bush radios are back, and that's really, really important.
I picked one up the other day. I think I paid about £3 for it.
Okay.
I've got to fix it now. So he said it's working, it's intermittent.
Okay.
He's got a mind of his own. I said, well, don't worry, I'll change his mind, I'll make it work. That's how I started my electronics. I used to fix those things.
Oh, that's fantastic. But as long as you can, look, if you can't find any other radio station, as long as you find 92.0 FM, New Sound Radio, that's the main thing.
That's the main
thing. That's where you got to be.
Thank you very much for coming in.
You're
You'll
welcome.
Be here every Friday.
Yes.
12 to 1 and bringing new guests and bringing information, which is needed by the community and the listeners who are waiting for such information because it's not shared. A lot of people who are elderly, you know, they don't really read leaflets and all that, so they have to listen and give them information on the air, which is really, really important.
It really is. And what we said last time I was here, Tari, is that the problem is that lots of people, particularly from our own communities, are not able to read the languages.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter how much money public health are spending on the languages.
Yeah.
So if we correlate that, first of all, most people, if I receive something in my post, I'm not going to read it.
Yeah.
Unless it's really something appealing to me. Mm. So now 70% of people can't read the thing. So yeah. Now you've got 30% of the people. How many people out of that 30% are really going to read something important to them? And the way it's framed, unfortunately, particularly health and mental health, which we're going to talk about today.
Yeah.
And all the health issues and the issues that we have with regard to everyday life. So lots of the people and listeners are carers.
Yeah.
Lots of people are caring for someone, but they don't know there's support out there.
Yeah.
So how are they going to be accessing that information if it's not provided in the language that they understand and in a way that's simple? And that's very, very important. And that's why we're here today. So it's really, really important that we engage with communities, and communities come and listen to us, and we're able to speak the various languages. And that's why we're going to be trying to speak in the various languages today as well.
No, definitely. And you brought a lovely guest with you, well experienced, and she wants to share all her information with us.
Yes, definitely. And you know, the thing is, what happens is often when you're trying to find a doctor, you go into the surgery, and you don't get much time.
Yeah.
So what I thought, I'd bring the doctor to you.
Yeah, brilliant.
Okay? That's very important. So what we've got is got a wonderful guest,
yeah.
A wonderful friend of mine, Imrana Sadiq. She's from the surgery, local surgery, based in Forest Gate, Wood Grain practice.
Yeah.
She brings a wealth of knowledge. Today she's going to be talking about mental health, but other things as well.
Yeah.
So we'll have some fun. Yep. So, let me introduce Imrana.
Imrana, welcome to New Sound Radio.
Thank you so much. So thank you, Tari, and thank you, Shahid, for having me. And for me, it's a real honor and privilege to be here. And good afternoon to all our listeners. Really looking forward to having a direct conversation with you all, having a nice chat, and hopefully you can go away with something that's useful for you as an individual.
Most definitely. I mean, you being in a surgery, you must be experiencing different people, the problems every day, day on, day off.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, not only in my day job, I think also in my, I live, work, eat, breathe in East London. So, you know.
Same here, been in East London all our lives.
I'm actually a West Londoner to start with, but I married an East Londoner.
What?
What made you do that?
That's history.
You're from the West Side, eh? Oh, dear.
But my husband, his family have been in East London for three generations. So his grandfather moved to UK and settled in East London. So we're kind of very embedded within Newham and in East London.
Yeah, no, it is the place to be because East London is the closest to the East, as they say. So, you know, up here that you get so many different type of communities in here, and all of them are like either passing through or they're settled here. We were like, my background is from Dagenham. We come from there, where Fords was. Posh pronunciation, otherwise he's known as Dagenham.
Yes, I see. I was trying to work out where that was.
Where is that?
Yeah, a lot of people pronounce Plasto as Plaisto in the posh way. So
yes.
Dagenham was the place where I come from. And that was like a proper, at that time when Fords was there, so it was proper East London hub as well for people. But now East London has become so big and wide, the communities have got together everywhere, so it's fun to see so much culture here, so much richness and so much traditions which have popped up everywhere. So Imrana, welcome to New Sound Radio, and getting down to the nitty-gritty, talking about health issues, especially in the Asian community, how would you describe the problems seen in the Asian community with health?
Yeah, so I guess before I get into the nitty-gritty, just to let you know, so this is general advice that we're going to be talking about. So anything that's to do with your own clinical experience, go see your own GP or speak to a mental health practitioner. And although we're going to have a general, hopefully fairly light but useful conversation, in case there's something that you find triggering or, you know, it reminds you of something that's difficult for you, then please do keep yourself safe, take some time out or seek help that you need. So back to the question you asked me, Tari, about mental health issues in the South Asian communities. I mean, the reality is that it is absolutely one of those things that affects our communities a lot.
Yeah.
And not only does it affect our communities like it does all the other communities within the UK, there are certain ways which make it more challenging because we have the factors of like, you know, culture, intergenerational, systemic factors, the realities of racism. I know we're in, you know, in 2025, but racism is very rampant, and how that impacts your individuals and communities' mental health is really important. So if I give you just kind of a little, I guess, a picture in your head. So in the UK, 1 in 4 people every year will have some sort of mental health condition to the level that it's diagnosable.
Right.
So, and the common ones that we know of, like anxiety and depression, that'll be like 1 in 6 people. So that, if I just put that in context, you know, so you've gone to your, you know, your cousin's wedding. It's a nice Asian wedding. There's 400 people there. Look around the room. If you think 1 in 4, so 100 people in that room will be suffering from something to some mental health issue. That's a lot of people.
That's a lot,
But we don't often know about it because, you know, people aren't very comfortable about speaking about it. And as hopefully we can talk about today, you know, there is still taboo, there's still lots of stigma. And hopefully we can kind of get into some of that detail.
And you'd think that because the Asian community, our community, normally like you've got extended family, you live together with your relatives, you've got so many people in the house, they could talk to each other, share your burden or share your, you know, that you're suffering from something or you're upset about something, you would think that the mental issues would normally be with people who are living by themselves, who've got no one to talk to.
Yeah, that's a really good point that you've raised. So one is that we were talking about this earlier, Shahid, isn't it? That the importance of family kind of in maintaining good health, mental health within society is really important. But also the fact that if it's not something that you're not allowed to speak about within your family, then that just becomes a barrier in itself. And as we know, although families and our communities are such a rich resource of support, it also comes with dynamics.
Oh, it does, yeah, most definitely.
And so that's got its own challenges you've got to navigate through.
Yeah, no, that's very true. I mean, these sort of issues, tackling them, you know, how do you go about assessing and then finding out that somebody's having a mental issue?
Yeah, so that, again, it's a really good question. Like, so kind of you're asking me what kind of things, you know, symptoms or signs will people have to know they've got mental health condition. So I thought I would just tell you a little story about one of my patients.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'll make it anonymous.
Yep.
So it gives you a flavor of the real challenges of our community, you know, and then we'll talk about some of the textbook things and then how that fits together.
Yeah.
So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about one of my lovely patients called Meena.
Right.
So she's a 32-year-old lady who was from India, got married and moved to Newham.
Yeah.
She's got young children and she's seen a few of my colleagues. So before, obviously, they come into the patient comes to my room, I have a look at, you know, through the notes, what have they been coming in for.
Yeah.
And I see that she came in not long ago with ankle pain.
Right.
And then she had that investigated. She had, you know, lots of different types of painkillers.
Yeah.
And she came back to see my other colleague and she had issues in her shoulder. So she had some investigations and then she came back to see me. And still the pains were ongoing.
Right.
And so when I spoke to her, I could see, obviously, lots of investigations were done. I did my own assessment. And then I just looked her in the eye and I said to her, in her own language, in Hindi, what's going on at home? And then she looked up and sighed and said, she said to me, the word she said to me is, how do you know there's something going on? And I'm like, I can see it, you know.
Yeah.
And then she told me, then it came out, that hadn't come out before, that she was having problems in her marriage. And actually it all started with, there was a sudden death of a very close relative a couple of years ago. And since that, her husband hasn't been able to navigate that grief, and that's been impacting her marriage.
Yeah.
And that's been causing a lot of emotional stress for her.
Yeah.
So then I started delving a bit deeper. And then I asked specifically about things like sleep.
Yeah.
So I asked her, how's your sleep? She said, I'm finding it really difficult to sleep. She wakes up early morning, can't go back to sleep again.
Yeah.
I asked her about her appetite, and she said, actually, I don't like eating. I just eat because I have to.
Yeah.
And then I asked her about kind of energy. She goes, I'm always exhausted.
Yeah.
And so that takes me on to kind of some of the, I guess, the textbook definitions like, for example, you know, the word we use in medicine is depressive disorder or depression, but you might know it as like udasi, ugam, gham, sadness. So we all know that obviously if you have, the symptom that everyone knows is that you'll feel sad. But there's more to it than that. It's not just about kind of that feeling of sadness. So things that are really important features in terms of diagnosis is like having losing interest in things that you used to enjoy. Really low levels of energy and, you know, fatigue, changes in your appetite, and that can be either too much or too little. Sleeping problems, and there's a variety of sleeping problems, but in particular there's one where you are able to fall asleep but you wake up in kind of early morning, 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and you can't go back to sleep. That's called early morning waking, and it's a really kind of key sign of depression. And also with those physical symptoms, you also have other emotional difficulties, like you have these feelings of self worthlessness, guilt, difficulty concentrating, thoughts. Some people can have thoughts of self-harm or suicide.
Yeah.
And particularly in the Asian community, as you can see when I, with aches and pains, with pain. So physical pain and emotional pain is not something that's disconnected.
No.
Not presenting with the things that you'd find in the textbook, but with other symptoms. But if you delve deeper, you will find those things. So that's just one thing, which is depression I've talked about. And, you know, as I said, one in six people will have either, you know, depression or anxiety in any given year in the UK.
No, most definitely, yeah. Well, we'll take a short commercial break here and then we'll come back and talk some more.
Brilliant, thank you.
Advertise on New Sound Radio. For further details, telephone 020 8472 9994.
Hey, seems like you're doing really well for yourself.
Thanks, just moved into a new office building in Whitechapel and it's really helped my business. I'm getting new clients every day and the location is just fantastic. And it's close to the city, central London and all the major transport links.
I could do with a new office. I'm in the middle of nowhere and my clients are struggling to visit me.
Well, they have a few more offices available. Why not give them a call on 0207 523 5318. Nell Business Centre, 56 to 60 Nelson Street, London E1 2DE.
Darj Carpet, largest carpet stockholders in Ilford. Quick fitting service. Darj Carpets ki fantastic deals ka fayda uthaye. Aaj hi apne ghar ko shandar banaye. Suppliers of top quality, laminates, lino, carpets and much much more. Hamare guaranteed low price ka fayda uthaye. Aaj hi Minal se sampark kijiye.
Darj Carpets, 2B Hickling Road of Ilford Lane. For further information, call Minal on 0203 632 1414.
Top of the range of award-winning and British-made carpets with 10 to 20-year warranty.
Don't just choose any carpet, choose Taj Carpet.
Bungro ke liye special offers and special deals from Taj Carpet. Taj Carpets free estimate or free fitting offer karte hain.
Eternity Events returns to GK Lounge for another unforgettable ladies' night. With complimentary Prosecco and mocktails on arrival, welcome canapes, a three-course meal, non-stop music by DJ Krish, live door performance, raffle, best dress prize, all taking place on Friday the 13th of June at GK Lounge, Ilford, IG1 1LQ from 7 p.m. till late. For tickets, contact Dolly on 0746 573 6536.
Power Roofing Limited. Nye roofs te repair lai. Asi GRP waterproofing, slate roofs, felt roofs, UPVC fascias, lead work. Te complete waterproofing with specialist arm. Established experienced roofers, Power Roofing. Lofts te extension da vi kam kar dene. Appointment book karan lai, hune hi call karo. 077-307-9829. That is 077-307-9829. Your call karo 0207-998-6686. Power Roofing full insured hai, te apne kam di guarantee vi dende ne. Power Roofing council to approved hai.
Swagat Jewelers proudly presents, in association with the Bright Stars, New Sound Radio 92 FM and JK Shah Accountants, Ek Rangeen Shyam, winner of India's Got Talent, Choti Lata, with Ishita Vishwakarma. Accompanied by Hitesh Gosani, voice of Mukesh. Tejal Vishwakarma, Hasti Pandya and Vicky on Saturday 7th of June at Woodbridge High School, St. Barnabas Road, entrance between 205 to 207 St. Barnabas Road, Woodford Green, IG8 7DQ. Tickets are only £15, £20 and £25, which includes a vegetarian lunch from 5.30 to 7pm. Show starts at 7.30pm. For bookings, call Ashwin Trivedi on 07956-278-228 or Hitesh on 0777-007-013. Dajal Patel on 07871-544-192.
ਪਤਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਿੰਨਾ ਚਿਰ ਹੋਰ ਇਸ ਟੁੱਟੇ ਘੱਟ ਰਹਿਣਾ ਪੈਣਾ ਤੇ ਕਿੰਨੇ ਬਿਲਡਰਾਂ ਦਾ ਮੂੰਹ ਦੇਖਣਾ ਪੈਣਾ। ਤੁਹਾਨੂੰ ਨਹੀਂ ਲੱਭਣਾ ਕੋਈ ਚੱਜ ਦਾ ਬਿਲਡਰ, ਲੱਗਦਾ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਹੀ ਲੱਭਣਾ ਪਊ।
ਉਹ ਮੈਡਮ ਜੀ, ਤੁਸੀਂ ਫਿਕਰ ਕਾਹਦੇ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੋ? ਮੇਰੀ ਗੱਲ ਸ਼ਰਮਾ ਕੰਟਰੈਕਟਰਸ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਹੋ ਚੁੱਕੀ ਹੈ। ਸ਼ਰਮਾ ਕੰਟਰੈਕਟਰਸ ਲਿਮਿਟਿਡ, ਜਿਹੜਾ ਕਿ ਨਿਊ ਬਿਲਡਸ, ਫਲੈਟਸ, ਓਲਡ ਗਰਾਊਂਡ ਵਰਕਸ, ਸਪੈਸ਼ਲਿਸਟ ਇਨ ਇਨਡੋਰ ਐਂਡ ਆਊਟਡੋਰ ਸਵਿਮਿੰਗ ਪੂਲਸ, ਆਲਸੋ ਕਾਉਂਸਲ ਅਪਰੂਵਡ। ਉਹ ਨਾਲੇ ਕੰਮ ਦੀ ਪੂਰੀ ਗਾਰੰਟੀ ਦਿੰਦੇ ਨੇ। ਅੱਜ ਹੀ ਸ਼ਰਮਾ ਕੰਟਰੈਕਟਰਸ ਨੂੰ ਫੋਨ ਕਰੋ ਫਾਰ ਦਾ ਮੋਸਟ ਕੰਪੈਟੀਟਿਵ ਕੋਟ। ਕੰਟੈਕਟ ਬਵਨ ਔਨ 07533-44-0486.
CNC Building Supplies, CNC DIY and Trade Store.
CNC stocks sand, cement, bricks, blocks and lots more.
Free advice available for DIY customers. Massive trade offers. Come in store to take advantage of the new offers at CNC Building Supplies. 10 Thames Road, Barking, IG11 0HZ. Call Mandeep or Amma today on 0208-507-7567.
CNC also stock
all drainage and soil fittings,
plumbing and roofing materials.
Same day delivery.
At JK Shah Accountants, we do account preparation for sole traders, minicab drivers, partnership and limited companies. We also provide various other services, for example, management accounts, bookkeeping, business advisory, strategic planning, cash flow forecast, company formation, VAT, company secretarial, payroll, auto-enrollment, CIS, personal tax return and tax planning. We also specialize in cloud accounting. We believe in working smart. Why not visit JK Shah Accountants on 572-574 Romford Road, Manor Park, London, E12-5AF. You can also call us on 0208-553-2436.
It's 12:32 and welcome back after a short commercial break. Rana, that was an absolutely fantastic story what you told us. I mean, that the signs are there and the people can't describe their issues. And how do you cope with that sort of issues when people come to talk to you? How do you analyze all of the individuals to see that they are going through stress, and how do you monitor them?
Yeah, thank you. That's a really good question. So that's, I think, I guess you could say one of the challenges, but also one of the privileges and beauties of working in a place like Newham in East London, where it's not straightforward.
Yeah.
So people don't come in with all the textbook signs. And trust me, I've worked in other parts of London and they do.
Yeah.
So that, I think that's where kind of, I think it... it's something which sounds really simple, but actually it's so powerful. So again, when I was talking to you about Mina, she doesn't come to me very frequently, but when she comes, and then I ask her kind of what's wrong, and I remember her once, she asked me, how can you tell that there's something going on? And then the honest answer, this is the honest answer I give to her and to other patients, is that I listen with my heart.
Yeah.
And then she said, yes, you're right, that's what I feel. And so it sounds really simple, but it's something in, something that's called, it's called compassion. There is a kind of a more medical technical term for it, which is called trauma-informed care.
Yeah.
But for our communities, we don't need to worry about those terms. Our listeners need to know is what this is. And this is something that we all know about. It's called hamdardi.
Yep, it's called that.
It's something that we all know about.
Yeah, hamdardi. It's very important. It's, you know, when you listen from the heart, you do pick up the senses. You do pick up the other person's problems, in the sense that you know that they're under some sort of stress or they're hiding something. They don't want to. They can't just say it. They need to be like molded into sort of bringing out the issue.
Absolutely. And the other thing is irrespective of how amazing, for example, the services might be out there, if lots of my patients, if they don't understand that connection between mind, body and soul, then they won't seek the right treatments. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's my role to help them understand themselves better. Yeah. So, and often I have this conversation about your physical pain and emotional pain is not disconnected. Yeah. You know, your head isn't in one place and your body's not in another place. Mm-hmm. It's all connected. So we have, when we talk about treatments, we've got to think holistically about, of course we'll look at physical health, but also you can't ignore the mental health part of the treatment if you want to get good outcomes and good recovery.
No, definitely not. I mean, a lot of the people, lot of individuals can't explain, they can't bring out their feelings or their emotions, they can't show it. Some people you might think they're very cold, they don't want to communicate with you, but they're not like that. It's just the way they are. Do you find that it's very difficult for those people to sort of share their issues?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think you've picked up on a point where there's actually quite a few layers to that.
Yeah.
So one of those layers I would say is that kind of the cultural norm, which is the kind of shame, the stigma, the sharam, your izzat, what the family going to say, what
all these
things. So that comes into it. So people suppress themselves for a long time.
Yeah.
And the other part of it, which is a bigger can of worms to open, is trauma.
Yeah.
Is the trauma that people have gone through within their lives, but not only them. It's this concept of intergenerational trauma.
Yeah.
So when their parents migrated, and the struggles they had in that experience, a lot of those experiences can be in some ways passed down to the the next generation, and having that trauma means that it's very difficult to process emotions because you've had to make a disconnect to be able to survive the hardships that you're going through.
Yeah. Especially after COVID, after 2020, a lot of people are going through a lot of emotional and mental stress because they have lost somebody or they've lost the whole family. Some people I know lost the mum and dad and the brother and the sister. There's only one individual left in the sibling left from four or five members. And how they are coping, is just unbelievable, because that has sort of opened a bigger can of worms. Like you say, trauma does bring a lot of stress on individuals, but they don't want to show it or share it with other people.
Thanks, Tara. You brought up another really important point. So you've talked about COVID, and now if you talk to policymakers or NHS leaders, you find that COVID pandemic is something that's talked about in the past.
Yeah.
And for lots of communities, it is something in the past.
It is.
But for our communities in East London, particularly from our South Asian communities, the impact that it had over those years in terms of loss of income, loss of families you've described, loss of the sole breadwinner, young children, losing their fathers in their 30s, that shadow is still present now.
Yeah.
And so that's another compounding factor to kind of how distress in our communities is, experienced differently.
Completely, yeah.
I think one of the things we see, particularly working at Blossom,
yeah.
and we deal with this particular thing around COVID.
Yeah.
So if you remember when COVID was within us,
yeah,
and not to say it's finished, there's still discussions and there's still lots of people in our hospitals who still need the vaccination, they're still going through difficult times, but if you remember, a lot of our countries, particularly South Asia, was known as a red zone.
Yeah.
So we couldn't travel to see our loved ones when they desperately needed us.
Yeah.
And a lot of them passed away.
They did,
And we didn't get the chance to actually bereave. We didn't actually have the chance to talk about their death.
Yeah.
So what we find often is lots of people don't, because they've not had that particular chance, they're still going through it every single day. oh, my nanny, my abuji, my mummy, whatever it was, they've died.
Yeah.
And no one's actually listened to me and heard my bereavement. No one's listened to my trauma and what I went through. And that's, I think that's very, very important to recognize as well.
That's what they're saying now. If only I wish I could should have done this. I wish I should have done this. I wish that wish, you know, never happened, and they couldn't do it because of the rules and regulations restricted you from traveling or doing anything. A lot of people didn't want to take the injection, but they took the injection, then they couldn't travel, or, you know, all of those issues did cause a lot of stress, you know, because this sort of thing has never happened in our lives before. And for this particular sort of pandemic to hit everyone and think on other bases of how are we going to cope with this, and on top of that pressure from the government, you have to have this. You know, some people never had an injection in their lives. You know, they never had medicine. But for them to take an injection and thinking, oh my God, if I don't have it, I will die. You know, it was drastic measures.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that leads to another kind of, I guess, interesting thing to discuss is in terms of, like, so, you know, our communities have this, as we described, this trauma, going through these symptoms. How do you treat it?
How do you,
And then, because you talked about some, you were talking about, Tari, about that thinking in the past.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the things that kind of some of the talking therapies can do, is it changes the way that your thinking patterns, so helps to change your thinking pattern from a negative one to a positive one, and that leads to positive behaviors.
So any stress that's caused in your mind, how quickly can it be dealt with once you've sort of sussed out that there's an issue there? How long does it take? I mean, does it depend on the individual, or is there a special sort of treatment program where they go through and they follow that pattern and try to get, you know, clear their mind and accept reality?
Yeah, no, again, a really good question. So I think, as you've described, it's very individual, and it depends on kind of the individual, their circumstances, the severity and the persistence of it. So obviously, you know, we all go through hardships in life, and you will feel anxious, and you will feel depressed at some point. Yeah. You know, there's exam season at the moment.
Yeah.
So my kids are going through exam at the moment. So there's a lot of stress in the house, but that's normal, you know. So we shouldn't medicalize things that are normal human experiences.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's only when it becomes persistent and it stops you functioning from the things that you want to need to do in your life that it becomes a problem.
Problem,
So, I don't know, actually, Shahid, let me ask you. If I said there was a wonder drug, and this wonder drug is a triple drug, you take it 3 times a week only, and it can improve your depression or your anxiety, and it also helps with your brain health and in your heart health, and there are absolutely no side effects.
Yeah.
Who would say no to that drug?
No one.
Not many people.
Not many people.
And do you know which drug I'm talking about?
No.
So it's not aspirin.
No, definitely,
it's not statin.
Yeah.
This drug is called exercise.
Yeah.
So it sounds, again, so simple, actually, what the research is telling us, that regular exercise can it boosts the chemicals in the brain, serotonin, endorphins, which help with your mood, but obviously also helps with your cardiovascular health and your cerebrovascular health, your mind and your heart.
Yeah.
So these are simple things that we can all do, but we don't, I guess as a community, but also as a medical community, we don't put enough emphasis on.
Yes, that's true.
Because a lot of people take my day-to-day chores is my exercise, I'll do that. But that's your day-to-day chores, you know, your cooking, cleaning, whatever. Men and women do the same, but it's not physically like making you sweat.
So yes.
When you, a lot of people take exercise as a drug, because it gives them that adrenaline and it gives them that boost when they're exercising. It clears their mind, and then their mind is focused on exercising one part of the body or the other part of the body. And a lot of people I know now, since 2020, they've gone into a different mode altogether. You know, from what they were to what they are now, exercise is wonderful.
Yeah, and I think we so that's a good point that you've raised in terms of like the intensity of the exercise and how the impact of health. But I wouldn't negate even if you're just doing your general chores around the house, you're going to pick up your kids from school. You know, those things are really important part of exercise, and that is still, even low impact exercise has a big impact on mental and physical health. So, but yeah, but I think there's a, as well as exercise, there are kind of there are a few other things which I think are important for people to know about in terms of how do you go about addressing these issues.
Yeah.
So one I kind of mentioned is something in the broader sense. It's called talking therapies.
And again,
I talked about how it helps you to kind of change your thinking patterns, and there are different types of talking therapies. Again, I won't bore you with all the different ones. There's one called cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, which you might have heard of.
Yep.
But there are lots of other types. And again, this is something that I find that a lot of people don't know. So in the NHS in England, there's a talking therapy for each area, and it's free, and you don't need to see your GP for a bonus to be referred there.
So,
if you're at home, go on your phone, just Google. If you're in Newham, if you're living in Redbridge, Google talking therapies Newham. It comes up, and you can refer yourself. So that's one barrier. I think talking therapies is really important to as a part of healing.
Right.
But also, again, I don't want to make this too complicated, but psychological therapies involve talking, but they don't have to involve talking. There are other types of therapy, like art therapy, dance therapy, journaling, things that are therapeutic but don't require talking.
Yeah.
And I think particularly, let's just be honest, particularly with our men,
they don't
want to sit there talking to somebody or, you know, on a couch. They want to actually go and do something more physical.
Yeah.
And there are other things that you can can help.
You know, you can play an instrument, learn how to play a musical instrument, or take up singing, like Shahid Babu said, talking about the other day. You know, like taking singing a song or your favorite tunes or whatever, that's a therapeutic as well in a way.
Yeah, 100%. So Tari, you brought up something I wanted to mention anyway. Actually, again, it'd be great to have a whole conversation about NHS five ways of well-being.
Right.
So this is a concept which there are five things that you can do in your own life, which are evidence-based, that can help your mental health.
Right.
And so one of those is learning something new.
Yeah.
So that's one of them. The other ones is giving back to your community, volunteering, so kind of the things that Shahid, is involved with. The other thing is connection, which we've touched on before, talking and connecting with other people. Physical activity, we've talked about already.
Yeah.
And there's another concept, which is being present. It's a term of mindfulness, but it's got... There's a lot of, particularly within our communities, there's a lot of misunderstanding about what that means.
Yeah.
So that's, Tari, you talked about people still living in the past.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that keep re-traumatizing us, and it doesn't allow us to heal.
Yeah.
So being in the present means, some people call it, in some of our communities, yoga, meditation is very kind of common and normal.
Yeah.
And those kind of things are very helpful. Breathing exercises, but maybe other spiritual practices in different kind of religion and cultures, reading kind of your, singing, reading your religious texts, you know, reciting Quran or reciting the, different religious texts may offer peace and it will help with that mindfulness as well.
No, it does. I mean, reading always does, because it gives you some sort of a knowledge, and it drifts your mind from what you're thinking, like you said about the past, which is very important. A lot of people do hold on to the past, thinking, oh, I wish I'd done this, I wish I could change this, but you can't. Past is gone.
Absolutely.
It's the present and the future which you've got to think about and be positive and do things, in your mind. Say, I'm planning for the future. I want to do this. I want to do that. So you think that being positive and planning for the future is something that the talking therapy can help with as well.
Absolutely. So I think what you've described is the right thing, but doing it yourself is very difficult. So it's very difficult if you're in a particular mindset to come out of that. So again, this is why things like talking therapy can help.
Mm.
But I think there's another thing. So I don't want to obviously I'm a GP. I don't want to not talk about medication. So I'm not trying to say that medicine to fix it. So if you have been prescribed any medication, continue with the medication. Talk to your health professional.
Yeah.
But it's not just medication. And actually, the other things we're talking about are just as effective, or actually if you use them in combination, that's actually the evidence shows that's the best way of getting the treatment. And the other thing I think is really important to mention, and it's great to have Shahid here today, is the and this is again one of the things that one of the treatments for mental health conditions is peer and community support.
Yeah.
So kind of support groups, the things that the support you get from community leaders where you have kind of trust, which you might not have in mainstream services, and our community activities. You know, I've seen something locally. There's an organization that does carom board games in the park.
I've seen that.
You get invited to things that aren't related to, you can't relate to, you know, you might not go to that kind of Pilates class. It's not, it doesn't seem like that's something for you. But when it's something that you can connect with, you know, then you're more likely to go. So, I mean, Shahid, you would know about this, isn't it?
I mean, one of the things, obviously, we always promote is our cafes, togetherness cafes.
Yeah.
So, first of all, what you said earlier, there is barkat in harkat. Okay? So, you whatever you do, even if it means that you go online and find out about some classes or something that motivates you, that's very, very important. The other thing you talked about is connections. Often people find it very difficult to do it themselves. They contact other people, they want that connection. So we build those connections. So you can come to art therapy, we can go around, walk. Some people will say, walking is really good, but walking by yourself, it's not that great. The thing is, when you have other people who motivate you, what we need in our societies is very, very important. You talked about something earlier, which was families. Families and the extended family is very, very useful. But what Imrana was talking about earlier is when we have mental health, we've seen families who are very, very strong, but when people are not talking to each other in a family, it breaks down that family unit. It causes, that family becomes almost like a burden. Because if people are not talking to each other and they're not listening to each other, then the last thing I want to do is go home and talk to my family about my issues. And that's really, really difficult. So we create a space ourselves in the togetherness cafes where people can talk. And that's very, very important, because you know, the thing is, what we value is I need to be listened to. I need to be validated.
Absolutely.
Someone's got to accept where I'm coming from and listen to me and not judge me. Because a lot of our families, what we tend to do is as soon as someone says has a problem, we'll say, oh, you should have done it like this.
You should have, you do.
Shahid, you know, you've answered the kind of the question I wanted to pose to our listeners. Because I was going to think, if you're listening, if you're tuned in today, then I thought, what can be something that would be helpful for you to take away? So I just thought, if you've just tuned in, or if you found the rest of the conversation boring, just listen to this bit. And this is what you've talked about. So I wanted to, if it's all right, Tari, I wanted to give three top tips for kind of helping yourself with your mental health and helping your family and your loved ones. So the kind of the top tips I thought about was exactly as Shahid said, talk about your feelings, don't bottle it up. And in our culture, sometimes it's discouraged to openly talk about it. So talk about it with somebody you trust, like a family or a relative, in one of these cafes that you run. And we've talked already. So top tip number one, talk about your feelings. Top tip number two, we've talked about already, move your body regularly. And in a way that's kind of appropriate, you know, and you'd like to as a culture. Like, for example, if you go regularly to the temple, Gurdwara, Masjid, walk there and back. And you've got your mindfulness and exercise both fit into one.
Definitely,
And I think this other thing which is really important, which is perhaps we haven't touched on as much, is creating moments of calm and rest. Because we have such busy lives, isn't it? With work, with family, with relatives, with daabats. We've already talked about the shadis. You know, shadi season's coming up. And, you know, you have not just one function. You've got your mehndi, your dolki, your registry, your walima. And so all of these things are joyous. They do require kind of energy and time. So within all this is to kind of create time of time for yourself where you can focus on just taking time out, so that, you know, something like deep breathing, prayer, meditation, journaling, listening to calming music, you know, recitations, those kind of things are really powerful. So my bonus tip would be, it's okay to ask for help. So the three top tips, I'm going to test you, Shahid. Do you remember what I said? The three top tips. Or Tari, you can come in. So I said, don't bottle it up.
Don't bottle it up.
Move your body. Create calm some time for calm in your life. And I think this is really important, because we've been talking about family a lot, which is really important in our communities. Exactly as you've said, Shahid, you've hit the nail on the head.
It is
that the three things I wanted to say for kind of how to help others in your family. This is, I would say, if you're going to take nothing away from our conversation today, the one thing I would say is listen without judgment and without trying to fix. I can imagine people are listening today. You've got that person in your family, isn't it? That as soon as you've got a problem, they've told you how to fix it already.
Straight away.
without even understanding, So that's really important. So listen so people can feel heard, because that's the most powerful advice.
Especially with the youngsters as well. I mean, but they're quick. If you're quick to judge on a youngster, they'll automatically think, oh, you don't understand me. I'm going to go and talk to my friend.
And to be honest, we have to accept we don't, because they're living in a different age.
Yeah.
We can't fix the problems of today using, well, sometimes we can, but often we can't with the past. The other thing which I always find with our classes and the sessions we run is become a child again.
Yeah.
And I tell you why it's so important. Is because we fix things in our minds. And you know, adults, they're wonderful, wonderful human beings, but they're sometimes very strange. Because what they'll do is they'll fix their stereotypes onto you, which is really wrong. And the other thing is, what I always encourage people to do, look, you know when you're a child and you see a puddle, please jump into the puddle. Enjoy yourself. Yeah. Forget it. Forget about life. And if you see some ice cream, go and eat some ice cream. Don't worry. Yeah. And it's really, really it's so important true. Because a lot of us, particularly people of South Asia and other people as well, we've missed the childhood.
And you work hard.
And we need to stop this. What we need to look at is relive the childhood. Yeah. Live that dream. Get some games and sit down with your kids and play some Ludo. Lose. Lose deliberately. Let them win. Fine.
Yeah.
No problem.
It is. It's very important.
It's important.
It's very important.
Thank you. Yeah, that's the one thing I wanted people to take away with, and you've already said it. Yeah. Please, my plea to our listeners is that if you have youngsters in your life, if you're a parent, if you're a dada, dadi, nanu, if you're a chacha, mommy, you spend a little bit of time listening to those young people in your life without judging, because you need to be that safe space for them as they're growing up.
Right, brilliant. We're running out of time now, so just to wind everything up, anything else you want to add in?
So what I would say particularly is come along to the Togetherness Cafes. I'm going to send Tari the information. You can go online and see it. Come along. We're opening a new branch in Gants Hill.
Yeah.
We're at the community hub in Gaysham Avenue every Thursdays from 11 to 1 o'clock. Please come along. And we'll speak any language that you want. And if we can't work out the language, we'll work something out. Don't worry.
Anything is possible.
Imrana?
Yes, I think one thing for me is I would say do this today on this Friday, on this Jummah.
Yeah.
Touch base with somebody. Check in with somebody that you might be worried about. Yeah? Do that today.
Most definitely. Both, thank you very much, and look forward to seeing you very soon again. And Shahid, see you next Friday.
I look forward to it.
Thank you very much for taking time out and enjoy the week. Enjoy Friday, first of all, and then the weekend. Have a fantastic one.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.